Good evening. Honored, as always, to have you a part of our midweek, which would be Wednesday night Bible study. My name's Justin Reed, and I am honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at the base of Short Mountain in the Wood community, in the Short Mountain community there. And you would be our honored guest at any time that it... Oh, there I am. That any time that you are afforded the opportunity. I did not mean to click that. I'm doing two things at once. I'm setting up the video, and I've also got my Bible turned to the 22nd chapter of Numbers, and I would invite you to turn yours there as well. I'm also sharing this to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ. That way, we can have some more people Wednesday night Bible study. Looky there, move this out of our way. What I want us to do with the time that we have here is I want us to study at least the second point that we're going to make tonight, if the Lord permits us to get to our points, is a famous children's Bible story, but I want us to see the context that it's in and then make a New Testament application with an Old Testament story. So that's kind of the goal here. It is 6:30, and since we begin our midweek Bible study at 6:30, I say we begin. Would you begin with me, and as we get into our introduction, we'll talk about the folly of Balaam. I do hope that you are engaging in an active prayer life. There are many people who are suffering illnesses, not only because of this virus, but just general sicknesses as well. Death is still occurring. Pray that you're praying for the grieving, those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that want our sense of normalcy back in their life, because we will get through this with the help of the good Lord Almighty together. I want us to look at the folly of Balaam. Balaam has a great story about a talking donkey, but there's more to the story of Balaam than just that. But as we go through our lesson tonight, I think you might see, as I've come to the conclusion, it makes sense that we tell the talking donkey part of the story to little children, because that's a fun lesson even for big children. But there's much more in the life of Balaam. As we're here in the book of Numbers, if you've never had a good study, one of my favorite studies I've ever done, it was called Trouble in Numbers. Not that we can't add and do arithmetic, but that's what happens to the children of Israel. The book is called Numbers for a specific reason, that the children of Israel are numbered in chapter 1, and they're numbered again. They do a census. It's our census year here in the States. They do a census at the start and a census there at the end. They're in this period of wilderness wanderings. Now, Aaron, who is the older brother of Moses, who we've talked a lot about when we were talking about Moses, he passes away in the 20th chapter. There is somewhat of a turmoil there because he was the first high priest, and so they weren't really sure what would happen when he had to give up his position, when it would be passed on to his sons. But we see that the transition goes rather smoothly, all things considered, and it keeps the Aaronic, or the priesthood of Aaron, going. The problem is that Israel, on their way to the Promised Land, they're dwelling among the heathen nations. And a problem with the Israelites dwelling among the heathen nations is they like to have a little fun with the heathen nations. And then they go to war, but then they want to intermarry and do all sorts of stuff when God has said, I want you to be distinct and I want you to stay separate. So that kind of sets our scene. And then Numbers 21 ends with Bashan and Og. They're being defeated. Og is the king of Bashan. Some of different places that the Israelites were having to defeat, and they will go back and reference this battle and this defeat numerous times, and then our story changes. And so I want us to take our Bibles. We're going to spend most of our time tonight actually in Numbers 22, and we will summarize 23 and 24, and I think you'll see why once we get to our lesson. But three simple points that I have divided our lesson up tonight as we look at the folly of Balaam. Join with me here. A little play on a famous phrase, to curse or not to curse? For that is the question, and I've taken that from the first 21 verses of Numbers 22. Let's go here and see through here and see what God's Word says. And the children of Israel, verse 1, they set forward, they pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan. by Jericho. Well, they've already destroyed Jericho, or they will destroy Jericho once they get into the Promised Land, and they're going to be in and around it a whole lot. They're in the plains of Moab. I have distant kin up on that list. If you remember, with the folly of Lot, if we stay on that word folly, or the bad decision of Lot, he went up, well, he was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he shouldn't have really been there to start with, but that's a different Bible lesson for a different day. But as he and his two daughters are escaping to the mountain because his wife turned back, turned into a pillar of salt, his daughters say, well, we have no offspring, and our father's line needs to go on. Let us get him drunk, and let us go in and lie unto him. And so he has a son by his daughter. Yeah, that's a wonderful thought to think about. And one of them are the Moabites. Mo meaning from, Ab meaning father, literally of the father. So they're in plains of distant kin. And Balak the son of Zippor saw that all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Amorites are a frequent enemy of God's chosen people, the Israelites. And so there is some evidence of the battles because God has been with the Israelites. And so they have fared well if they've been faithful to him. If they haven't been faithful to him, they haven't fared well. And the people of Moab were sore afraid of the people of Israel because there were many of them. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Why? Because you've got God leading you. Verse 4, and Moab said to the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And so Balak the son of Zippor was the king of the Moabites at the time. Notice there I have Dekin next to Midian because I was running out of room on that line. If you remember Father Abraham, he had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. Well, he had the son of promise Isaac before that. Hagar and Sarah had this idea in Abraham to circumvent God and had Ishmael, where we get the Islamic nation today. They're descendants of him. And then he had Isaac, and then his wife Sarah dies. He marries Keturah. Genesis 25, and one of the six or seven sons that she has is Midian. So you have distant kins because the Moabites are from a nephew of Abraham, and you have a descendant of Abraham, but not of the divine line of Isaac. And they're saying to each other, these Israelites are going to get us. So notice, Zippor, this king, sent messengers unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide ever against me. Introduction to Balaam. Not much background. Some people have a hard time figuring out exactly where he came from. I'm not that concerned where he came from, because the Bible tells me there's this man named Balaam. But I notice that the people say, well, these people, the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. Come now, therefore, he says to Balaam, I pray unto you, and curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I do not know whom thou, for I know that whom you bless, he's blessed, and the man that you say is cursed is cursed. Now, I'm not led to believe that maybe Balaam has some sort of divine thing. Maybe he's just good at playing the odds. Maybe it's God acting in the affairs of men, providence, to make this thing so Balaam would be the one that's chosen. But Balaam is hired to curse the people. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, they departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam, and they spake unto him the words of Balak. So they're getting money from two different kingdoms. What we need to pause and note is that the defining problem, the folly of Balaam, is he likes money just a little bit too much. Look at verse 8. He said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again. The Lord, see, obviously knows something about the Lord God Almighty, because he literally would have said Yahweh. For Yahweh shall speak unto me, and the prince's abode there with Balaam. He says, God will speak to me what to say. I'll go where you want me to, but God's going to put the words in my mouth, and I'm going to speak it. And God came unto Balaam and said, what are these men with thee? I have the word theophany there. You may have heard of the word epiphany when you come to yourself. There's a biblical idea. You don't actually read the word theophany in the Bible, but it's a biblical idea. It's the same thing that happens with Gideon. there in the angels. The same thing that happens with Moses and the burning bush, a manifestation. God is talking to them. And so here in this context, Balaam is having a conversation with God Almighty, because God appears to him and says, "Where'd these men come from?" And Balaam said unto God, "What's Balak, the son of Zippor?" Now, he's recounting what all he said to do, but here's what I find funny. Well, God knows. It's the same way when God said, "Where art thou, Adam?" Well, he knew where Adam was. He said, "Why are you naked?" Questions 1 and 2 in the Bible. And he said, well, he didn't have to ask. He knew he had eaten. But God still asked anyways. So Balaam recounts the story. I've been paid off to curse these people that have come out of Egypt. And God said, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they're blessed." I mean, to me, that should lock, stock, and barrel. That should finish this conversation. That should end the story of Balaam, because God said, "Don't go. Don't curse them, because they're a blessed people." However, Balaam's not going to let a direct command from God to him necessarily stop him, at least at this point. So Balaam rose up in the morning, one of my favorite biblical phrases, and he said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you to your land, for the Lord refused me to leave me to go with you." He says, "You might as well go back. The Lord's not going to let me go." And so they tell the people, but Balaam's not going to be as grounded. Balaam's not going to be as firm on a good foundation as he seems here as his story continues, because Balak sent more princes, more and more, and one would come and he would talk to Balaam, then another would almost be waiting in the doorway, he would come, and that next one was more honorable than the first one, and it's a long line, and it's just a more esteemed and a more esteemed and a more esteemed person. More and more of them came. And they came to Balaam, and they said, "Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee." Let nothing hinder thee from coming. I will pay you whatever. I will promote you to very good honor. I'll do whatever you say unto me. Come, pray thee, curse me this people. As a side lesson, we see the ruthlessness of the wicked, because Balak is willing to stop at nothing. He's willing to appoint Balaam into a high-ranking position, into his army, into his kingdom, into his world, all for Balaam to curse God's people. He says, if we did it today, if this were a modern movie, they would have written a check and it would have been signed, and they said, "You fill in the dollar amount, and it's yours." Well, let's keep going. Now, at this point, I like Balaam's answer. I'm not going to be too thrilled with Balaam in about 5 verses, but Balaam answered and said unto Balak, "If Balak would give me his house of silver and his house of gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do less or more." Oh, if we only had that idea today. Oh, if we only as Christians said, "I will not go beyond. I will not do more than His Word says, because His Word's sufficient. I will not do less, because His Word's sufficient." He says, "Not even your own house, filled to the brim of silver and gold, I won't go. Therefore, I pray, tarry ye here also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me." And as I throw my thing, "What do you mean what the Lord will say unto you, Balaam? He already told you, verse 12, don't go, don't curse, because they're blessed. What makes you think, what audacity do you have, Balaam, that you can turn around a couple of days later?" I don't know the exact time frame, but it's a little while later. What makes you think God's going to change His mind? He didn't. He said, "Well, hold on, I'm going to wait for an answer from the Lord." Maybe thinking, well, maybe if I tell them no the first time and they keep offering, maybe it'll be okay. Verse 20, God came to Balaam at night and said, "Well, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I say unto thee, that shall you do." So he rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and went down with the princes of Moab. Now, he's supposed to wait till they ask. It's not recorded if they ask. We're led to believe they asked, but as we transition into point two here in a second, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But here's the thing. God's not going to change his mind. But now God's going to use this as a great lesson. But God is still not happy with the way that Balaam is acting. How do I know point two? That's the talking donkey. That's the point of Balaam everybody loves, right? God is mad. His anger is kindled because he went. And then you may say, well, wait, Brother Justin, didn't God say if the people ask you, you could go? Yeah. That's why, depending on which way the wind blows, I might be led to think, well, maybe they didn't completely ask. Maybe he just went on his own accord. Maybe he's just angry with Balaam to start with because Balaam asked him a second time. I mean, there's a long list, but suffice it to say that God is mad. And an angel of the Lord stood in the way as an adversary against him. Now, Balaam was riding upon his ass or his donkey. He had two servants with him. You know the story, right? If not, let's go through it. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword, it's talking about the angel, was drawn in his hand. As a side note, maybe it's just a little pet peeve, I don't know. You ever seen people draw angels? And they'll draw them all beautiful, and they'll draw them male, they'll draw them female. Well, we're told that there is no marriage in heaven. You also never read of a female angel in the Bible, because here it specifically says him. You've got, you know, Michael. You've got all these. Anyways, that's maybe a pet peeve. But the angel has his sword drawn. And so the donkey turns out of the way. Goes into a field. Now remember, Balaam can't see this angel. But the donkey can. But the angel of the Lord stands in a path of the vineyard. And there's a wall on this side and a wall on that side. It would have been a path between two fields. And you wouldn't have been able to get around. And so the donkey sees the angel of the Lord. Now notice the donkey's female. What does she do? She crushes Balaam's foot against the wall. And so he smote her once when she turned into the field. Now he smites her again. This donkey is trying to save Balaam's life. But the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. There was no way to turn to the left hand, or to the right hand or to the left. They're at an impasse, and the angel's there in the middle. So when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she, as if she just fell down, maybe in a position where you might have gotten on the donkey to start with. And notice, Balaam's anger was now kindled. Now, God's anger's kindled at Balaam. That's what's causing these events to transpire. Now, Balaam is mad because the donkey turned aside to the field when he didn't see anything wrong. And the donkey has crushed his foot, which probably is still hurting, up against this wall, which he didn't see anything wrong. And now, there, what looks like a straight path that the donkey could take him and the servants on, and that donkey just lays down on the job, we might to speak. So he starts smacking that donkey with his staff. And God opens, verse 28, the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey said to Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou would smite me these three times?" Do you realize, friends, what a wonderful God we serve? At a moment, God opens the mouth of this donkey, and he allows this donkey to talk. This donkey had never talked in her life. And after this event, this donkey would never talk again. And I've never met another talking donkey. And I've never heard of another talking donkey. God allowed this donkey to speak. Now, what I've always found interesting is Balaam does not act surprised. But then again, if God appears to you in a dream, if God speaks directly to you, I might not be surprised over a talking donkey either. But anyways, I want you to circle in, narrow in, if you will, on the miracle. That wonderful thing that this donkey's talking. And Balaam said to the donkey, "Well, I did it because you mocked me." He said, "I wish, oh Balaam, oh I wish there was a sword in my hand." Because I'd kill you. I'd kill you, you talking donkey. And the donkey said to Balaam, verse 30, am I not your donkey, which you've ridden upon ever since I was yours until this day? And I've always wanted to do what you wanted me to do, haven't I? And he said, nay, but look what's happening, verse 31. Then the Lord opens the eyes of Balaam, and he saw that angel standing in the way. And that angel has his sword drawn to fight. And Balaam bows down his head, and he fell flat on his face. Oh, how foolish he must have felt. The very thing he wanted to do to this donkey was preventing happening to him. But Balaam didn't know it. Oh, how foolish Balaam was. The angel of the Lord said, why have you hit your donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand you because your way is perverse. Your way is opposite to mine, and I'm working on the direction of God. So your way is opposite of God. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. And unless she had turned from me, I now surely would have killed you. And I would have kept her alive. And Balaam said to the angel, I have sinned. For I knew not that you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, you go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that you will speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. What is the point of the talking donkey episode? That's so Balaam relies in God, or on God, upon God. Because he couldn't see all this stuff happening around him. The donkey saw it. The donkey saw the angel. The donkey kept Balaam alive. Now Balaam's going to go, because this messenger of God says, go, but only do what I tell you to do. Now as we look at our third point, and I've kind of adapted this from what Brother James Burton Kaufman has said, and actually Wikipedia has all the stuff in the right order. Of course, I've expounded a little bit. We don't have time to read these, but these notes are online. But he's going to give seven oracles. Some people call them parables. I kind of like oracles just a little bit better, but suffice it to say, Numbers 23 and Numbers 24, seven different things that Balaam says to the people. And this is not what Balaam wants to say. It's what God tells him to. So the first one talks about how the army of Israel is going to be countless. In other words, they will not be able to be numbered. They will be more and better than their enemies. The second one, there 23:18 through 24, talks about the great military might of Israel and also how Israel will be moral in their decisions. The third one's in the 24th chapter. It talks about the glory of the king of Israel and subsequent kings of Israel. The fourth one talks about the coming of a conqueror and how that conqueror will help Israel fight and win all their battles. Verse 20 is number 5. Talks about the ruins of Amalek. Well, you can read later about the ruins of Amalek throughout the Old Testament in the books of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. Number 6 oracle that he gives are the destruction of the Kenites, another group that were frequent enemies there of the children of Israel. Then the 7th oracle, there were these ships from Kittim, and they were going to come in, and when they would come in, it was almost as if they would signify destruction for the enemies. It's a great story. It's a great study. I might encourage you, maybe as your nighttime reading, to go continue reading our story here in Numbers 23 and 24, because I kind of went through that pretty quickly, that last point, because I want us to hone in on our application. Is that okay? I hope it's so. I'm teaching the class, so. But first, there are three lessons, one from each of our sections. Number one, friends, don't take money over serving God. That's Balaam's problem. Balaam was persuaded because they kept offering him more and more, and the more he thought about it, the more he really wanted to take their offer, even though he knew what God really wanted, but he really wanted it. Friends, there's no amount of worth in the world that's worth losing your own soul. Jesus Christ says the same thing. He asked it as a question in Matthew 16:26. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but yet lose his own soul? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? No amount of money should be paid over our service to God. Number two, don't waffle between obedience and disobedience. To waffle means to go back and forth on. That's what Balaam did. He waffled on, well, whether should I obey or should I not obey? For that is the question. Friends, with God, it's always obey. And with the world, it's always don't do what the world says, but do what God says. And thirdly, disobeying God brings consequences. Grave consequences. Friends, it should have cost Balaam his life. Now, for us today, we know the wage of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wage of, right, you know, life. We can do death or we can do life, but the wages of sin is death. And that's what we deserve if we are in our sins. But thanks be to God, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, left his home in heaven, came down this low land of sin and sorrow, died upon the cross to redeem me from my sins and you from your sins and the world from the world's sins. So there are three lessons that you could take away from this. Another one would be a good one, maybe. Don't go more or less than the Word of God, but take the Word of God 100%. I just didn't really put up there because Balaam says that, and it's a great admonition, but he doesn't necessarily follow it, but we, friends, should. But where I want us to spend the last about 3.5 minutes of our lesson here is Balaam gets three mentions in the New Testament, and I want us to go through them. So, if you're in Numbers, flip to the back of the Bible, almost at the end, to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, we're going to look at the three New Testament references to Balaam. Because we're bound to the New Testament, and so Balaam serves as an example to not be greedy. Look at verse 15, which have forsaken the right way, and they are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. Wage, pay. When Peter is using Balaam as an example, he says that there are people who are like Balaam, and they have turned away from the Lord, and they have started following unrighteousness. Don't be like those people. Well, let's go on now, a book or two over, to Jude 11. Technically, that's Jude 1, verse 11, but since there is just one chapter, usually in shorthand, it's just written with just the verse number. Let's see how Jude, the brother of Christ, let's see how Jude describes Balaam. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Pause here. What did Cain do? Cain killed his brother Abel. Genesis chapter 4. First recorded murder. He says, woe unto them, because some of them, they're murderers. Some of them, verse 11, they ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. So there were some people who ran greedily. Or they made their whole walk, their whole conversation, their whole lifestyle, a lifestyle of greed. And greed was their reward. And then he finishes that out. And woe unto them, for some have perished in the gainsaying of Korah. That'd be Korah. That'd be those that talked back against Moses. Three examples of people that Jude is writing said, woe unto people who have gone this way. But notice he says about Balaam, they ran greedily. Their whole conduct, their whole lifestyle was a lifestyle of greed. And the last one is in the Revelation letter. The Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 14. 2:14, he is talking here to the church at Pergamos, the second church that is written to. Verse 14, but these few things I have against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. He's talking about the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine, the idea, the belief of greed. But also, when Balaam was talking to Balak and trying to get the children of Israel to stumble, he says, "Woe unto you! You need to be careful because you have people here that are greedy and who are trying to put stumbling blocks." And Jude says that there are people, woe unto them, who run greedily. And Peter says that there are people like Balaam who love the wages of righteousness. Friends, if you get nothing else from the story of Balaam, what's the point? We don't need to be greedy. Paul tells Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Friends, we need to be content. Is Justin Reed, that's me, am I saying, well, you can't go out and earn a living? No. Is Justin Reed saying you can't go out and work? No. Justin Reed is saying you shouldn't let money be the only thing you ever think about. Do you need to think about money? Yes. You need to pay your bills. You need to figure out what you're going to give back to the Lord, how you can use your money to help further the kingdom. But I tell you what, if all you think about is dollars and cents, you'll wind up like Scrooge McDuck and you'll be miserable the whole time. That's the folly of Balaam, was he was greedy. And he had a hard time sticking with what he knew was right to do. If you want a copy of these notes, they're on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources. Or you can Google my name, Justin Reed Bible, or EED on that. Just look under the VBS notes section. The notes and the PowerPoint are all there. I don't charge you for them. That's not my goal. My goal is to give them to you if you want them to aid you in a study. There will be no Thursday night Bible study this week, so if the good Lord permits us to be here till Sunday morning, we will be back in the building 11 o'clock there at the Wood Church of Christ, base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off of 70 there on Short Mountain Road, be on the left if you're coming off of 70, right if you're coming from Smithville. Regardless of which side of the road it's on for you, you'd be our honored guest. We'd love to have you at 11 o'clock. We're going to look at a sermon from the late, great Brother Gus Nichols and some great Bible questions. So I hope you can join us for that. And I have thoroughly enjoyed our study here this evening. And I hope the study of Balaam has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. Please share this video so that others may learn of the folly of Balaam and learn not to repeat it, not to imitate or follow after it. And I do hope that you can join us for our next scheduled study. I'll leave this here in case you want to catch a 7 o'clock study that's just now starting. I'll end this the same way that we have ended every lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.